Get your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 1. We're going to continue our look and our study here with the law of the Spirit of life. And I really believe that once we have completed this, it is going to be just a tremendous eye-opener for all of us. And it's going to help us even more to understand what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to do it here on earth as representatives of Jesus. What we're going to do is just read briefly a number of verses that we looked at the last time we were in this, and do a little bit of review and just kind of flow right into the next thing that he wants us. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then keeping your finger here, flip over to the 5th chapter of John and look at verse 26. It says, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." Now flip back to John chapter 1, verse 5. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now flip back over to Isaiah chapter 9, because once we read all of these verses, then we'll tie them all together here. Isaiah chapter 9, and in verse 2 it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And then back over in John chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus said, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." And in John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is my kingdom not from hence." And then turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And I'll find it here in just a moment. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." And then if you flip back over to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, all of these verses that we just read, we went over them in a lot more detail than what we are tonight. But we just wanted to read these because these are so pertinent to what it is we want to look at tonight. And in order for us to lay a foundation for tonight, we needed to go back and take a look at those. Now, to kind of summarize it, Jesus, through everything that we've read, Jesus had life in Him, and we know that life is the same life as the Father. And so Jesus was housed in a flesh body. He walked here on this earth, but He wasn't of this earth. He wasn't a descendant of a human being or of a man, of a male. He didn't have a human father. He had a human mother, but He didn't have a human father. And He said very plainly here in this that even though He was on earth, He wasn't of this kingdom or He wasn't of this world. He was of another kingdom. And His kingdom, in His kingdom, is life, but He lived in a kingdom of darkness, which we know is referring there to sin and death. And so here's Jesus. He's housed in this body, and He's walking through on this planet, and He's the only person alive that has the life of God on the inside, that has the nature of God. Everybody else had darkness on the inside, spiritual darkness, or they had that sin nature, the nature of sin and death, on the inside. But Jesus is the one that stood out in this. Now, when we become born again, as we read over here in Colossians, we become one of the saints in light. Well, it says there in John that Jesus had life in himself, and that the light that he had on the inside was the light of men. And so if we want to have spiritual life, then we have to put our faith in Jesus Christ and receive him as our Lord and Savior. Well, we've done that. And in the process of doing that, we then receive his life, or that light on the inside of us, when we are born again and we have the light. We become one of those saints in light because we have the life of God on the inside of us. And we are moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of God. And it's a really interesting thing, because when we get born again, we look at ourselves and we really don't see much of a change on the outside. Oh, there might be a little bit of a change as far as our demeanor on our face, but as far as a real physical change, we really don't see anything take place, but the change has taken place on the inside. And so we get born again, and the instant that we get born again, we are translated out of the kingdom we were in into a brand new kingdom. And this is kind of a hard concept, because we don't sense a change. You know, we come to the altar, we get born again, and we're still in the same church. We got born again. You see what I'm saying? We're still there in the same place. But yet, from God's perspective, we're no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness. We're now citizens of Jesus' kingdom. We're now citizens of a brand new kingdom. We belong to a whole different kingdom. The kingdom of darkness, looking here in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, this is where we're really focusing. The kingdom of darkness is governed by the law of sin and death. You have two factors here in this second verse. You have the spirit of life, and you have sin and death. And there are laws that apply to both. On the one hand, you have the law of the spirit of life, and on the other hand, you have the law of sin and death. Well, before we get born again, we're in the kingdom of darkness, and we're governed by the law of sin and death. And sin and death is the very thing that exists and rules there in the kingdom of darkness. Well, the kingdom of Jesus is governed by the law of life, or the law of the spirit of life. Now, because of that, we have the right to operate according to the law of the spirit of life. Because the moment that we get born again and we're translated into that kingdom, we're also translated into a realm that's governed by a different set of laws. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, that right there should be a grand revelation, because what it means is the law related to the spirit of life is more dominant than the law that's related to sin and death. The moment that I put my faith in Jesus Christ and received him as my Lord and Savior is the moment that the law of the spirit of life began to kick into action and worked on my behalf to enable me then to become born again. Now, according to the law of the spirit of life, we have the right then to do everything that Jesus did, because we have the same life in him, or the same life in us that he had in him. When you go back through the New Testament and you begin to read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you see Jesus operating and ministering, he's operating and ministering according to that particular law. The law of the spirit of life says that it's possible to feed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's the law of the spirit of life. And oftentimes when we take a look at the miracles that Jesus did, we have a tendency to take those miracles and explain them away and say, well, that's Jesus doing that, and I could never do anything like that. But again, Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do also, because I go unto the Father. Well, he went unto the Father to prepare the same place in the Father that he held, which is a position of sonship. And the reason that we're able to declare ourselves as his sons is because Paul wrote there in Romans, well, in fact, right here in Romans chapter 8, in verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." And that's not the Holy Ghost of adoption. That is the nature of the Father on the inside of you that caused you to be adopted into his family, to become his offspring. And it's because you have that born-again nature, the nature of the Father, you now can cry out, "Abba, Father." And the Holy Ghost bears witness with our born-again spirit that because of this transformation, we literally are the children of God. And of children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And so therefore, our position with the Father is the same position that Jesus held and still holds today. And that is as a son or a daughter of the Father, because we have that same nature. Now, the law of the Spirit of life, again, is more powerful than the law of sin and death. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we said, Jesus, I accept you to be my Lord and Savior. Now, when we made that confession, nothing happened until He responded to that confession. The law of the Spirit of life that has already been set in motion declares that the moment someone reaches out to Jesus and says, Jesus, I want to accept you as my personal Lord and Savior, the law of the Spirit of life is then enacted in that person's life. And when that happens, it sets off a chain reaction of things. For example, the blood of Jesus Christ immediately kicks in, washes away the old, and in its place we receive that new nature, the born-again spirit. And so it's an act of faith on our part, we reaching out to Jesus. But see, the whole time, that law is there. It's waiting for us to tap into it. Because God set this thing in motion, and the only thing, now get this, the only thing that can stop the law of the Spirit of life from changing you out of the kingdom of darkness and translating you from that kingdom into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the only thing that can stop the law of the Spirit of life from working in you to cause you to be born again is you. You're the only one that can stop it. It's already been released. See, if that law could just operate any old way that it wanted to, don't you understand that everybody on this planet would already be born again? But because of our ability to choose, it's like, you know what a governor is? You ever driven a truck that's got a governor? It keeps the truck from going beyond a certain speed. And it doesn't matter if you shove your foot through the floorboard, that truck is only going to hit 65 miles an hour or whatever it is. And you talk about frustrating. You know, you would like to pass something, you know? But the governor is on there, and you can't go past that 65 mile per hour speed limit or whatever it's set at. By the same token, there's a governor, if you will, on the law of the Spirit of life. That governor is our will. It is our choice whether or not we allow that law to be enacted in our lives. Not just when we're born again, but even after we're born again. And we're going to see that more and more as we get into this. Now, we know all about earthly laws, some of them at least. We understand that there are certain laws which exist. There are laws of thermodynamics. There's E equals MC squared. There are laws of geothermal stuff. I mean, all these different kinds of laws that we know about. And like the law of electricity, we mentioned how that law exists. But we have to exercise that law, or we have to tap into that law or activate that law. So the law of electricity says, if I, electricity, am released to a light bulb, I will cause that light bulb to glow. And so we enact that law by walking over to the light switch and flipping that light switch, and the law of electricity is enacted, and the lights come on. And the air conditioning comes on. Thank you, Jesus. And to help the air conditioning, the fans come on. Thank you, Jesus, for fans. Amen. Well, you see, we understand, we know about the law of electricity. We know about all different other kinds of laws. But we don't fully understand everything about them. To us here in the body of Christ, as born-again people, we have access to the operation of the law of the Spirit of life. Now, here's the kicker. Until this past Sunday, when I went through the first part of this message, there were some of you didn't even know there was a law of the Spirit of life. We looked at this passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, and this phrase, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's like it's all one word to us. And we never stopped to take a look at what this was telling us. I mean, it's obvious once you understand it and you see it. It's very plain and very obvious. But we take that, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, like it's one big long word. Well, it's talking about the Spirit of life that we receive from Christ Jesus. He's the only source of the Spirit of life. And so we put our faith in Him. We put our trust in Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. Through Him, we receive the Spirit of life, that born-again nature. There is a law that accompanies the Spirit of life. The power of that law, now get this, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now, when we begin to understand, on the one hand, how the law of sin and death operates, all the while understanding and knowing that the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death, then when I look over here and I identify the operations of the law of sin and death, knowing that the law of the Spirit of life is more dominant than the law of sin and death, I then can take authority over everything that the law of sin and death would try to work in my life. And this is exactly where the body of Christ has fallen short. We have not understood that there are two laws in motion. There's a law of sin and death and a law of the Spirit of life. And because we've been so ignorant about this, and we didn't even know. I mean, when I shared this this past Sunday, for some of you, it's like these little light bulbs suddenly went off above your head. It was your eyes kind of, oh, yeah, I see it now. This is so cool. The law of the Spirit of life. Wow, this is the neatest thing in the whole wide world. Well, see, now that we understand it, we have to learn how to enforce it. We have to learn how to operate by that law. Listen, whether you like it or not, that law works. And you're not going to change it because it originates out of God's kingdom. Not the kingdom of darkness, not somebody else's kingdom. It doesn't originate according to man's plan. Do you understand that the law of the Spirit of life existed and was in operation even before creation was brought about? Hey, you want to get a glimpse of this, the law of the Spirit of life in full-blown operation? You just look into heaven. I mean, nothing hinders it up in heaven. The law of sin and death doesn't exist in heaven. The law of the Spirit of life is in full-blown operation up in heaven. But we're not in heaven. And so, even though we're in a different kingdom, positionally speaking and spiritually speaking, we're still in bodies that are on a planet that's in a creation which is still touched by the law of sin and death. All you have to do is find one person who dies without accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know what the result of that person is? It's plainly, plainly obvious that the law of sin and death is still in operation here in the world. But we didn't even know that there was such a law. We didn't even, in the body of Christ, we didn't even realize. We just look at this second verse and just consider it to be something about being born again. But now we understand. God's trying to get across to us, hey, listen, you're of the same kingdom as Jesus Christ. When Jesus operated out of my kingdom, He was operating according to the principles and the standards of the law of the Spirit of life. Now that you're a part of that kingdom, the same rights and privileges to operate by that law and enforce that law are now passed on to you. Now see, this really clarifies a whole lot for me. Now I begin to see things more for what they are. It's not that there's some kind of a, like, God's way out there. And I can, if I'm a good boy, and I eat my Wheaties, and say my prayers, and read my Bible, I'll motivate God to move on my behalf. And until He does, I'm stuck back over here hoping something good is going to happen in my life. Here's God, and He's saying, look, my Son was down there on the earth. He plainly stated that He was not of the world. His kingdom was not of that world. And now that you're born again, you have the same life, the same nature, and you can make the same statement. I'm not of this world. And the kingdom I belong to, it also is not of this world. I belong to the same kingdom that Jesus Christ belonged to in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, belongs to today. I, too, am a part of that same kingdom. And so, God saying, look, it's not a matter of you being a good boy and eating your Wheaties and reading your Bible and saying your prayers and not kicking the cat and not kicking the dog and, you know, saying nice things to your wife. It's not a matter of you doing those things and then making me feel so good about you that I decide, well, bless me, I just got to do something for that boy down there. He says, no, I've given you my life, my nature. I've taken you out of the kingdom you were in because the kingdom of darkness you were in was dominated and governed by the law of sin and death. I removed you out of that and I put you over here with me in my kingdom. And the law of the Spirit of life is the governing law here in this kingdom. When you learn how to tap in to that law and operate by that law, you're going to see everything about your life change. You're going to see things happen in your life that maybe you had thought you were just waiting for me to do on your behalf. He says it's just a matter of tapping into and enforcing the law of the Spirit of life. Now, the law of sin and death operates to produce destruction in our lives. Now, a lot of times, and you really need to listen closely to this because I don't want you to misunderstand it. A lot of times we blame the devil for stuff that he may not be responsible for. Now let me explain. Now I know very well that Jesus tells us the thief comes, he's to steal, kill, and destroy. But you got to understand, until you're born again, we're all a part of the kingdom of darkness. There in Isaiah, when it said the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, he's talking about lost humanity. And he's saying, he could have said that about us too before we came to know Jesus, which is we walked in darkness. We had spiritual death on the inside of us, and we were a part of that kingdom of darkness. Now, because we were a part of that kingdom before we were born again, the law of sin and death was operational in our lives. The devil didn't even have to come and do anything in our lives because we had a sin nature that caused us to be citizens of that kingdom of darkness. And the governing law in that kingdom is the law of sin and death. And so that law was going to affect us regardless of what happened. But because Satan is also a part of that kingdom and he knows how that law operates, then what he does, he moves in and does everything possible to enforce the operation of that law in our lives when we're lost. And he even tries to hit us with it when we're born again. And so even if the devil didn't come, we were still going to die and go to hell. Are you with me on this? It didn't matter. He didn't even have to come and knock on the door and try to get us to commit acts of sin. We had a sin nature on the inside of us that was already dead, if you will. It had death working in it. It was a part of that kingdom. And the devil, really, he could have just sat back and watched us. We still would have done stupid things. He really didn't have to work that hard, but he does anyway. Okay? Because he knows we've got sin and death operating on the inside of us. Well, he tries to enforce that law of sin and death in our lives, but the law of the Spirit of life works to produce life in our life. Over there, I think you're still here in Romans. Look down in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now again, he's not talking Holy Ghost. He's talking about the born-again nature that you have on the inside. And so we could read it like this. But if the Spirit of life of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit of life that dwelleth in you. In other words, the law of the Spirit of life dwelling on the inside of you. I guess you could look at it and say it like this. The ultimate end result for us, as far as this world is concerned, the ultimate end result is when the law of the Spirit of life causes these bodies to be glorified. When we're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The law of the Spirit of life works to produce life in our lives. See? Now, that law is more powerful than the law of sin and death. But if we don't do anything with it, then what's going to happen? Well, Satan's going to do everything he can to get us messed up as to which law we're under. See? The Bible says the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Now let that sink in. Because what that means is the law of the Spirit of life has completely broken the arbitrary ability of the law of sin and death to work sin and death in your life. See? The power of the law of the Spirit of life has completely set you free from the dominance of the law of sin and death. So we were here in the kingdom of darkness, and the law of sin and death was the operational law in our lives. We get born again, and we get translated out of that, and we're completely, the law of the Spirit of life has completely set us free from that old law. Now, here's this old law over here. It's reaching, trying to control us, but we've been set free. And we can just give it one of these, you know. We're free from it. This is so important for us to understand. We are free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has completely severed the control that the law of sin and death had over us. We're set free. Remember Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Now, you remember how Gary gave us the illustration of, you know, if you could have gotten born again, and, you know, like a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. If you could have gotten born again and spent the first 1,000 years of your born again life in heaven, life would be so much different, wouldn't it? Because the moment you get born again, you start 1,000 years of existence in heaven. In heaven, you see the full operation of the law of the Spirit of life. The law of sin and death does not exist there. And so the law of the Spirit of life works at full-blown capacity. So here we are for 1,000 years. Now, do you think it's possible that after that 1,000 years, we were to come back to earth, we'd understand a little bit better how to enforce the law of the Spirit of life? Not just in our own lives, but in the lives of other people when it comes to ministering against sickness and disease and demon possession and all of this other? You better believe it. We would. But we don't get that, do we? We don't have that blessed opportunity to spend that 1,000 years of you know, hands-on training and hands-on experience. Well, while we're here on earth, let's draw an analogy here. Let's say that we wanted to go to Japan. So we all get on an airplane, we all fly over to Japan. Now, while we're there, we get off the airplane, and we check in our bags and all this other, and we walk over to the Hertz counter because we want to rent a car while we're there. And so we sign the papers and all of that, and they tell us where we can go pick up the car. It's parked in space such and such, and they give us the key, and so off we go. Boy, we're excited. Never been to Japan before, you know. Going to drive around, see all the things, get to the car, go over to the driver's side, open it up. There's no steering wheel. Well, glory, they gave us a bad car. There's no steering wheel in this car. And then we look and we say, oh, wait a minute. It's over on the other side. We've already discovered that in Japan, the law of driving says that the steering wheel is on the right side instead of the left side. Now we're getting a little concerned. But we think, oh, well, I can handle this. So we get in the car on the other side. Start it up. We kind of adjust to it a little bit driving out of the parking garage. Then we get into traffic. And we do what we've always done. We turn into the left lane, right? Or the right lane. But everybody else is driving in the left lane. Well, we've learned something else about the law of driving in Japan. And that is everybody drives on the left-hand side instead of the right-hand side. In Japan and Belgium, and Germany and every other country, there is a law book of driving that's relative to that country. If we are going to drive successfully and not kill ourselves and everybody else, it is imperative that we get a hold of that law book and take a look at some of the driving laws. Because when we're over there driving and we do something stupid and run everybody off the road, is that going to matter to the police? They will still pull you over, still give you a ticket, and if they think you're stupid enough, they'll just take you to jail and lock you up. It won't matter to them. The law of driving in their country is the law of driving in their country. And you better get the law book to find out what you're supposed to do when you get over there. All right, by the same token, we're no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness. Turn over to John chapter 6. I want you to see something. We are no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness. We are citizens of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, this is a whole new thing to us. We don't understand everything that's supposed to happen. Now, we may have a little bit of an advantage if indeed we grew up in church, and while we were in church, we heard a lot of teaching. The problem is, for most of us here that did grow up in church, a lot of the things that we heard taught as laws aren't laws at all. It's what people wish were laws or think are laws or hope would be laws. See? And so we're taught the wrong laws. If I tell you that, oh yeah, over in Japan, you have to drive in reverse everywhere you go. How long do you think that's going to go over? And everybody you meet over there is going to say, you know, stupid, silly American. You don't drive in reverse. But my friend told me, we don't care what your friend told you. The law book says you have to drive forward. If we grew up in church, there's a good chance we were taught a lot of things, even though nobody explained it to us like this and said, these are the laws of the Spirit of life. They were presented to us as principles we're supposed to live by, and now come to find out some of those things really aren't in the law book after all. In John chapter 6, look at verse 63. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, if his words are spirit and they are life, then don't you think the words he gives us and has given to us are directly relative to the law of the Spirit of life? And so what we have then, we call it the Holy Bible. In reality, this is the law book of the Spirit of life. Just like I can go up here to the driver's exam place and they'll give me a book, State of Ohio Driving Laws. All right? That's the law book of driving in Ohio, but it has a lot of different sections and a lot of different individual points related to specific areas of driving. School zone driving, highway driving, back roads driving, and so forth. Likewise, here we have the law book of the Spirit of life. Inside this law book are a lot of different individual points pertaining to different areas of our lives. So it's not just one specific thing. It affects everything about us. Now, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to show you a few things in this. And as we go through these, we're not going to dwell a tremendous amount of time on them. But we're just going to take a look at them very briefly in Proverbs chapter 4. Now, the law of sin and death, now listen closely to this, because this may start causing some bells and some more light bulbs to go off. The law of sin and death says, sickness, doctors, and pills What does the law of the Spirit of life say? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. This is the law of the Spirit of life. We are now citizens of the kingdom of God, wherein that law is the operational governing factor. The law of sin and death has trained us all of our lives, sickness, doctors, medicine. But God says the law of the Spirit of life says, my words are life unto all that find them and health to their flesh. Now, does that mean we don't go to doctors, take medicine if an affliction or a sickness hits our bodies? Don't be a fool. Because until we learn how to fully enforce the law of the Spirit of life against our bodies in the area of sickness and disease, if we reject the help of doctors and medicine, we could end up attending each other's funeral. And this is where people mess up on this whole issue of healing. They hear something like this and they turn their backs on doctors and medicine. And they don't even know how to walk according to the law of the Spirit of life. Well, see, until you understand this, you've got people out there called doctors and nurses and pharmacists, people that are going to help you to survive on this planet until you learn how to enforce the law of the Spirit of life. And so it's stupid to say, I have nothing to do with doctors, I have nothing to do with medicine. If you don't know how to enforce this law, you better reconsider that position. And it's not a lack of faith or not a lack of faith. Faith, you know, walking by faith, another way to put that is walking according to the law of the Spirit of life. And understanding how to operate it. Understanding how to work it. How to enforce it. Well, let's look at another one. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So don't misunderstand that about doctors. I don't want people to get messed up on that. But the law of sin and death says poverty, get another job or two, borrow money, and use credit cards. That is the law of sin and death, to try to bury you financially. Hey, how many of us can relate? The law of the Spirit of life says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Again, you can't get too much more plain than this. That's the law of the Spirit of life. Now see, if we don't understand how to fully enforce that law, I mean, God did say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the law of the Spirit of life. But if you don't know how to live by that law yet, if all your life you've been taught how to live according to the law of sin and death, which is trying to enforce poverty in your life, if that's all you know, then to suddenly say it's a sin to borrow money, it's a sin to use a credit card, it's a sin to do those kinds of things, then you know what? You're probably going to sit back and watch your house crumble around your feet, your car completely fall apart, and your kids go hungry, your clothes wear out and everything else, because you don't yet know how to enforce the law of the Spirit of life. The law is right here. So it's not wrong to partake of these other methods while you're learning. What else are you going to do? Are you with me? What else are you going to do? Look at another one. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Now see, if you don't watch out, a lot of people can start laying on themselves, with the help of the devil, feelings of guilt and condemnation. Well, I've just failed. I've been so bad all my life. You know, I should be able to do this. And yeah, you're right. All of us should. But bless God, let's be patient with ourselves. We're just learning this. You know, it's not wrong to operate in other ways that aren't in full accord with the law of the Spirit of life. We've got to learn. We've got to figure out how to do this. And so we do have these other methods that we can partake of. Well, the law of sin and death says, go get therapy, lay on a psychiatrist's couch, take all of these mood, emotion-altering, enhancing drugs so that you can function normally in society. That's what the law of sin and death says. The law of the Spirit of life says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the law of the Spirit of life right there. Does that mean that I don't need to get counseling? I didn't say that. Again, I'm not saying that these other things, you don't ever do them. But what I'm saying is this, we're now citizens of a kingdom where the law of sin and death does not have the right to enforce itself on us. We've been made free from that law, but until we learn how to operate according to the law, the Spirit of life in the kingdom wherein we're now a citizen, then sometimes we may, again, may need to partake of some of these other things. But this isn't God's perfect. It's not God's best. The law of the Spirit of life is God's best. Let me show you one more. Over in turn to Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. The law of sin and death says, sue to get what's yours. Take them to court. If they did you wrong, take them to court and get what belongs to you. If they treated you wrongly, said something bad, if they stole from you, if they burned it down, if they broke it, whatever, it doesn't matter. Take them to court and sue them to get what belongs to you. That's the law of sin and death. What does the law of the Spirit of life say? First off, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And in Luke chapter 5, or chapter 6 rather, in verse 35, he kind of picks this up again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, he's saying, look, really verse 37 in this is describing a lawsuit, in essence, in a manner of speaking. Because if I sue somebody, what I'm already doing is passing judgment on them, condemning them, and I'm not forgiving them. I'm saying, you're guilty of doing such and such. I condemn you and pass sentence on you. You owe me such and such. And until you give it to me, it's not going to be right between us. So therefore, I take you to court to get what I say you owe me. And God says, wait a second. If it's gotten to this point, what you're supposed to do is loose them of this debt. You take the very thing that you think they owe you, the money, the car, the house, the possession, whatever it would be. And instead of saying, they stole it or they ripped me off, you turn that thing around and make it a gift unto them to demonstrate the mercy of your Father which is in heaven. And when you do that, that opens the door for me to begin to move in your life and replace whatever it is that you've lost. The law of sin and death doesn't teach you that. The law of sin and death says, sue their pants off, and whatever's left, take it. God says, don't you understand? The law of the Spirit of life will produce life in that area of your life that you feel has been ripped off by somebody else. Are you beginning to see how foreign this is to the body of Christ? In all of these areas, how that we really have not been taught to operate according to the law of the Spirit of life. We have been taught in church to operate according to the law of sin and death, and we don't even know it. We have been so hoodwinked. And that's, the law of sin and death basically says, you have no hope unless you figure out an answer. Unless you figure out a way to bring this thing to pass. Unless you figure out somehow, you've got to work it out on your own and then go to God and ask Him to bless it. But the law of the Spirit of life says, it's in God's hands. Learn to enforce the law of the Spirit of life in your life in every area. It doesn't matter what it is. Because that law is working to produce life in everything that affects you. In your ministry, in your family, in your job, your finances, your body, your mind, everything. The law of the Spirit of life can only produce, now listen, can only produce one thing, and that is life. It can't produce anything else. It can only produce life. And so if there are areas of your own personal life where it doesn't seem like things are working out the way they ought to, what it means is the law of sin and death is trying to creep in and produce destruction in your life in those areas. But if you learn how to enforce the law of the Spirit of life, the law of sin and death has no choice. Because the law of the Spirit of life dominates the law of sin and death in every single area. This is so awesome. And all I've got to do is learn to enforce the law of the Spirit of life, and the law of sin and death can't touch me. Praise God. This is so cool. I am such a conqueror. Just like the Bible said, the law of the Spirit of life says, you've been made more than conquerors. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a conqueror and a dominator. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and stand up.